All right, we'll call the meeting to order, and our next public hearing is conditional use number 2381, Consolidated Edison Development Incorporated.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a solar farm to be located on a portion of certain parcels of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 43.27 acres more or less. The properties are lying on the south side of Lewis Georgetown Highway, which is Route 9, approximately 0.4 mile east of Harbison Road, which is Route 5. The 911 addresses are 26628 and 26772, Lewis Georgetown Highway, Harbison. The tax parcel ID is District 235, Map 30. Parcel 61, parcels 58.06 and 58.07. Submitted into the record, we have a copy of the staff analysis, we have a copy of the applicant's conceptual site plan and the applicant's exhibits, we have a copy of a letter from the applicant, we have a copy of the Dell Dot service level evaluation response, we have a letter received from the Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, and we also have a letter received from the Sussex Conservation District, and we've received zero comments. Thank you.
All right, we thank you, and I believe there's someone here representing this application.
So before we go, just
before we get rolling, let's talk about
how we
might do this. Okay, we have seven public hearings. They are essentially all the same thing in seven different locations. Okay, so you might want to do is give your complete presentation on your first hearing. And then the things that are duplicated each time, simply can ask to have the testimony of the first hearing incorporated into the current hearing. And that will hopefully save some time, but it still gets all that stuff in the record. Now, it is completely up to you, okay? You're on the docket for seven hearings. We're here as long as you want to be here.
Careful what you wish for, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, Mr. Lowry and I actually conferred over the last couple of days, and we were kind of comfortable that that would
You're
be
okay
where
with
you
the
would
consolidation.
I am very much okay with
All
that.
All right, then. The floor is yours.
Yeah. Okay, just to let you know how optimistic I was, the first two words in my presentation were, "Good afternoon." That having been said, good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, and ladies and gentlemen. For the record, my name is Joe Shanahan, and I am a senior manager for project development, core markets for RWE Clean Energy, owner of Consolidated Edison Development, Inc., the applicant for conditional use number 2381, and our other six applications that you will be considering this evening. Also with me are Brian Conlin of Langan Engineering and Environmental Services, who are our consulting engineers on this project and the next two projects on the agenda. Brian is here.
Okay, there you go. Hey, Brian.
And Websley Darbuzzi of Colliers Engineering and Design, formerly Bergman, who are our consulting engineers on the subsequent four projects on the agenda. Websley is here. Brian and Websley will be available to address any technical questions that may come up for which I may not have the answers, and that does occasionally happen. So. The applicant, RWE Clean Energy, is a result of combining of RWE Renewables Americas with Con Edison Clean Energy Businesses in March 2023. RWE Clean Energy is a subsidiary of RWE Group, is one of the largest renewable energy companies in the United States, with its corporate headquarters in Austin, Texas, and Valhalla, New York, and additional offices in Chicago, Boston, and Fairfax, Virginia. We have a significant track record of developing, constructing, and operating renewable energy facilities, with more than 15 years in the United States and a corporate history dating back 125 years, RWE Clean Energy has a secure investment-grade credit rating, assets valued at over $138 billion, and revenue of $38 billion. We have over 1,500 employees here in the United States and are the second largest solar owner and operator in the United States, with a renewable energy portfolio of about 8 gigawatts of installed capacity, including solar, battery storage, and onshore wind. RWE Clean Energy also supports federal agencies, private businesses, cities, towns, and homeowners in meeting their energy goals. Conditional use number 2381 is our Harbison A project, located at 26628 and 26772 Lewis, Georgia, Georgetown Highway in Harbison, Delaware. As shown on the site plan which was submitted, the lease area, or the conditional use area, is 25.8 acres on an overall 43-plus acres property. Project would be set back 315 feet from Lewis, Georgia's Georgetown Highway, accessed by a 20-foot-wide gravel driveway. The site is mainly undeveloped with one residential structure and some outbuildings. The landowner resides at the property. From the many public hearings held over the last 12 months, members of this commission likely know the general characteristics of ground-mounted community solar projects here in Delaware as well as I do. But I ask your patience so that I can introduce those characteristics to the record as they do apply to this conditional use 2381 and our six other applications being considered tonight. Let me begin by stating what such solar projects do not do when compared to almost any other type of use which might be developed at these seven Sussex County locations. Such solar projects do not emit any noise or odors. They do not create any glare during the day, nor, because there is no lighting at the sites, any illumination at night, and they do not produce any trash or litter or any other form of waste. Such projects do not create any traffic, as once construction is complete, there are only occasional vehicular visits to the site for routine inspections, repairs, and landscaping. These solar projects do not require sanitary sewer service or utilize the water supply, as has been reported to you by your Utility Planning and Design Review Division. Further, solar projects do not create any burden for local fire, police, or other first responded departments. Finally, solar projects do not put any additional children in the respective school districts. Having stated what solar projects will not do, please let me state briefly what they will do. First, for municipalities and counties, especially the more rural ones, community solar projects raise tax revenue in places that often have difficulty increasing their tax base. And again, they do so without putting any additional burden on community services or infrastructure. Second, for property owners and even renters, 70% of whom cannot put solar installations on their homes or businesses, community solar projects allow access to solar-generated power for all Delmarva Power customers, affording them the opportunity to receive a discount on their utility bills. And these ratepayers don't have to be wealthy to participate in a community solar project. In fact, under Delaware's new rules, 15% of all participants must be low-income individuals. Further, this Harbison A project and our other six community solar projects will afford farmers and other landowners rental payments for years to come that will allow them to keep their land in the family for future generations and preserve the land's invaluable natural attributes. Finally, unlike almost any other use which might be developed, when the life of a solar project comes to an end, the solar equipment is removed and the site is restored to its previous condition. And Sussex County has ensured this removal and restoration process by requiring a decommissioning plan and decommissioning surety for every solar project. This is an overview of the general characteristics of ground-mounted community projects in Delaware, all of which apply with regard to conditional use 2381 and the other six projects we are proposing here in Sussex County. With your permission, I shall now move on to the more specific attributes which apply to conditional use 2381 and each of our other six projects here. and then I'll move on to present the details of each specific project during the respective public hearing for each conditional use. Conditional use 2381 and the other six solar projects we have proposed in Suffolk County have many attributes in common, so I shall put them on the record here and ask that they be incorporated by reference in connection with all of the other projects and the public hearings for each. Each of the projects is a public utility use under the Sussex County Zoning Code and meets the purposes of a conditional use because each has a public or semi-public character that is essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare of Sussex County residents. You pardon me, I'm from Boston. We have a Suffolk County in Boston, and it just slides out when I start that SU thing. Each of the projects is located in either a GR, General Residential District, or an AR1, Agricultural Residential District. A public utility use is allowed in both of those districts with the approval of this commission and the County Council. The application for conditional use 2381 and those for the other six projects were submitted 15 months ago on July 1st, 2022. And therefore preceded the adoption of your recent solar ordinance in April of 2023. Although it is not technically controlling, all of our application packages and the projects themselves substantially comply with the pertinent requirements of the new ordinance, including the requirement for decommissioning plan and cost estimate in connection with each. All of the projects have been proposed as 4-megawatt alternating current projects, as that is the maximum size allowed under the current rules in Delaware. Several of the projects, however, may end up somewhat smaller depending upon our interconnection agreements with Delmarva Power and our final designs. Conditional use 2381 and all of the other projects are to be constructed in lease areas which are just portions of our landlord's larger properties. In other words, none of our projects utilize all of the land owned by our respective landlords, and most of our landlords will continue to farm or use the remaining land as their families have for generations. All of the projects are set back significantly from the roadways from which they gain their access, and the projects will be accessed by 20-foot wide gravel driveways. All of the projects will be enclosed by a 7-foot fence as required by the National Electrical Code. The fence will be gated with locks, and there will be a Knox box at every gate. Each solar project contains a solar array or arrays, which is a group of solar panels wired together to collect energy from the sun and send it into the solar project's inverter, converting that power into usable electricity and distributing it to the Delmarva power grid. The panels are hung on posts and are approximately 3 feet off of the ground and approximately 12 feet in height. The ground around and below the panels will be planted with a pollinator-friendly mix that provides more shelter, nesting habitat, and food sources for a variety of insect populations that support wildlife species. We have also submitted an exhibit book for conditional use 2381 and each of the other projects. Each exhibit book contains, first, a DLDOT level of service negative determination, a Federal Aviation Administration determination of no hazard, an invoice from and the fee paid to Delmarva Power to undertake a community solar interconnection study. Also, a determination by the State Historic Preservation Office, SHPO, that a review of the property and of the project under the National Historic Preservation Act is not necessary. A determination from the United States Fish and Wildlife Service that the projects will have no adverse impact on any threatened or endangered species. A United States Army Corps of Engineers preliminary jurisdictional determination, a PJD, which is a notice of concurrence with the findings of our wetlands delineation plan. Also, an approval by the Sussex County Conservation District, an approval by the Office of the State Fire Marshal, a clean Phase One environmental site assessment, and as previously mentioned, a decommissioning plan and cost estimate. The conditional use 2381 site is owned by Terry L. Martin. Terry and her husband, they're still here. Terry and her husband are here this evening. Terry had asked that I read a statement into the record on her behalf rather than getting up and testify, and with your permission, I shall do so. She writes, members of the Planning and Zoning Commission, my name is Terry Martin. I was born and raised in Sussex County. I graduated from Cape Henlopen, am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yes. You are.
High School, Del Tech Community College, and Wilmington University. Reminders of my family's deep roots include Martin's Farm Road, Thompsonville, and Russell Road in Bridgeville. Having inherited none of the family land, I began assembling my property in 1984 and have added to it as contiguous pieces of the land became available over the years, with the last piece being purchased in 2009. In total, I currently own approximately 46 acres. I have also owned and operated a successful business, M&D Bird Farm, for the last 21 years. It has always been my plan to find a way for my land to produce an income so that I can retire comfortably without creating another housing development. I was intrigued by the several calls I received from solar companies like Con Ed offering to lease my land for a solar farm. Most assuredly, this was stimulated by Delaware's state mandates to increase the amount of power that comes from renewable energy sources like solar. I found the prospect of reducing our carbon footprint with solar power very appealing. In conclusion, I am requesting that the commission approve this conditional use and allow Con Ed to move forward with making Sussex County more energy efficient. Respectfully submitted, Terry Martin. Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, I thank you for your attention to this testimony presented on behalf of conditional use 2381, our Harbison A solar project, and respectfully request your approval. If the commission or the public through the chair have any questions, we should be happy to address them. Thank you.
All right, sir. We'll see if anybody has any questions for you. Let's see. Who are we starting with? Starting with you.
And I have no questions. Thank you.
All right.
Excuse me.
No questions.
Okay. Mr. Collins?
I have no questions.
Okay. Staff?
None for me, thanks.
Just one for clarification. For the record, it looks like there's a vegetated buffer along the south and west sides. I'm looking at the map, so is that what's going in there? Just so we know.
On this site, we are not adding.
Okay.
Anything that shows is vegetated is natural.
Okay, it's already there.
It's already
okay.
There.
Gotcha. All right. Thank you. And no other
right.
Questions.
Seem to be any.
Is this one backs up to the railroad tracks, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, there don't seem to be any further questions. If you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anybody here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone who would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2381, Consolidated Edison Development Incorporated, in favor. Is there anyone who would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 2381? Okay, does anyone on the commission have any further questions?
No.
Okay, if not, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us the rest of the evening, see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Our next public hearing is conditional use number 2382, Consolidated Edison Development Incorporated.